All right, we'll pray. Then we'll jump in this lesson for this training school. Father, Yahweh, we come to you first of all just to acknowledge you and to just praise you for who you are. It is our goal to be pleasing to you on a daily basis. And right now we seek wisdom and understanding on tonight, and we bless you in advance for that. We also declare that everything that you reveal to us, we will put it into action. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. Alrighty. I don't know if y'all been paying a lot of attention. I believe that you have. That's just expression. That I've been really dealing with processes, methods of understanding the scriptures. We've been doing this for, you know, a long time, and what I mean by that, as far as the ministry is concerned, and you know, over these years, you know, from starting the church back in 1994, I've taught on just about everything. all the way from Genesis to Revelation. And so what burden Yah has given me, a burden, and that burden in this stage of the ministry is to make sure that we are rightly dividing the word of truth. And so what I've been doing here recently is not only teaching you what the scriptures actually say, but also to show you how to comprehend what the scriptures are actually saying. Well, we want to do this again on tonight. And we'll start out in Revelation chapter 1. And as we start out in Revelation chapter 1, I want to encourage you to keep in mind that we have to stay within the boundaries of the scriptures. And we don't allow ourselves to imagine what it's saying, but we know exactly what it says because we allow the scriptures to interpret themselves. You know, thus the term I always say, the scriptures are excellent at interpreting themselves. All we have to do is study and allow the Spirit of Yah to guide us, to lead us in the comprehension of the scriptures. And so we don't wonder, we don't allow ourselves to imagine what the Bible is saying, but Yah is very clear in the Bible. Is easily to be understood if we follow the rule. If we follow the rules, it's easily understood. That's the reason why Christ left us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to teach us all things whatsoever He has said. So this book is not meant to conceal truth from us. It is meant for us to understand it and to be able to express that understanding to others so that we can all become the disciples of Christ and follow and be followers of Him. Okay. Now, there are some things in Revelation chapter 1 that if we don't follow the rule, we'll miss the true understanding, we'll miss the true meaning. But if we follow the rule, it becomes crystal clear, and it is also confirmed by the scriptures. Not only in Revelation 1, but also other scriptures will confirm what we see clearly in Revelation chapter 1 by following the rules to understanding the scriptures. Okay. And I remind you again, just in case, that rule is the scripture is excellent at interpreting themselves. We don't interpret the scriptures, but the scriptures interpret themselves. And we just have to make sure, as I mentioned earlier, that we're being guided by the Spirit to see, to comprehend it. Okay? Now, with that in mind, we'll start at Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, Yehoshua Mashiach. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, when we follow the rule, we understand that the first few words, or the words that we have read, we have to make sure that we understand each word before we move to the next set of words. So we know who Jesus Christ is. We understand the and of. We know it's Him, but this revelation is what we have to understand. So revelation means disclosure of truth. Okay. Even when we look at the definition, it says disclosure. See it? Manifestation, revealing, revelation. It is the disclosure of Jesus Christ. I like to say disclosure of truth, because we know anything that He says is true. So the revelation of Yehoshua Mashiach, which God gave unto Him. So we know that Christ got the disclosure of truth from the Father, His Father, our Father, Yah. Yah gave it to Him. His reason for doing it is to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass. And He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John. Now, when we look at the word signified, it means to indicate. Okay. You also can look at it. I was going to see if it's going to give us something else, but as it says again, signified, it says to mark. You know, to make a mark, to indicate. In other words, what Yah gave to Christ, Christ gave to the angel in order to give it to John. Okay? Verse 2 says, who bear record Who? John, who bear record of the word of Yah, because you have the colon there, let you know all this was given to the servant John so that he could bear record of the words that Yah spoke to Christ, who then gave to the angel, who then gave to John. So John bears the record of the word of Yah. And also, John bore record of the testimony of Jesus Christ, Yehoshua Mashiach. And he bore record or is a witness of all the things that he saw. Now, verse 3 says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Now, it ain't just talking about hearing from a perspective of, I heard what you said with my ears. But there are certain deepness to the word of Yah that we have to always comprehend, that we know that obviously the hearing has to go through the ears, the senses. But anytime Yah wants us to hear something, it is vitally important that we understand. So it goes through the ears, but what's important to Yah, and should always be important to us, is that we understand what we heard. So blessed is he that readeth and understand the words of this prophecy. Okay? And keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. In order to keep it, we can't just hear it. We can't hear it with our ears. We have to understand it. There are times when we would take an old test in high school, and we passed that test because we heard the answers. But you asked us about an hour about those questions, we couldn't answer it because we didn't keep what we studied or what we looked at. We just retained the information just long enough to pass the test. Okay? And so Yah said we got to keep those things. We keep it through understanding and implementation, okay? Now, verse 4 says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Now, when we look at verse 4, we see that there is a throne. Okay? So that throne, that throne is part of that throne belongs to him, which is, and which was, and which is to come. So when we look at it in John 4, it is identifying him who sits on the throne. Now, him who sits on the throne, and we'll come back up to verse 4, is obviously based upon the scriptures, different from verse 5. There's someone who is which is, there's someone who is which was, and there's someone who is which is to come, and has a throne. And he's different from Yehoshua Mashiach, Jesus Christ. Verse 5. Okay? We also see that this person in verse 4 is different. Make sure your phone's on mute. Make sure your phone's on mute. Now, as we see it here, the person in verse 4 is different from the person in verse 5. And also we have an understanding of verse 4, because when we get to the end of the verse, it says before his throne, semicolon. When there's a semicolon in a sentence, it lets us know that we should pause. This is end of thought. And so when we read verse 5, we know that it is not referring to Christ, Yahushua Mashiach, Jesus Christ, in verse 4, because the way that the scripture is written in verse 4 has ended the thought concerning which is, which was, and which is to come, and before his throne. Now verse 5 now starts with a new thought. It says, and from Yahushua Mashiach, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Okay. Now, when we go back up and look at verse 4, we begin to understand that verse 4 is specifically talking to Yah, because Yah, verse 1, gave the disclosure of truth to Christ. So Christ now is being identified in verse 5 as the faithful witness. Okay? He's the faithful witness. Verse 4 is identifying Yah, or God himself, who is, which is, and which was, and which is to come. And from the seven spirits which are before him, which are before his throne. So we know that the Father is the one who has a throne. Okay? The scripture points out that Christ is sitting on the right hand side of the Father. So that throne is not his, but he have a place of honor and glory, because he's at the right hand side of the Father. It didn't say he was sitting on the throne with the Father. It said he was at the right hand side. So I don't determine what the right hand side is. Okay. I just say what the Bible says. He's on the right hand side. Wherever it is, that's where he is. Okay. Now, we understand now from verse 4 that is referring to the Father Yah alone. Thus, it's vitally important for us to understand, and we've talked about it times and time again, and I'll continue to pound this information in you until you get it. Yah is God alone. There is no other God but him. Christ is the Son of Yah. He is the first begotten of the Father. Okay? And so it's vitally important for us to understand it. And because we've taken things out of its contextual meaning, we made things God who are not God. And And we shouldn't be doing that. We should stick with the scriptures, okay? Now, what it goes on to say in verse 5, it says, and from Yahushua Mashiach, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins. Now, when you look at verse 5, hold on a minute. Okay, when you look at verse 5, then the first thing that a person will start to think is they will I'm gonna continue to read. I'm not gonna jump ahead of myself. Okay, I'm gonna read down to okay, I'm going to read down to verse 11. Okay. Now, I just go to verse 6 and then we'll deal with it. It says, and hath made us kings and priests according to Yah and his Father, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega. You see it? I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Y'all see it? So we look at verse 8, and verse 8 is talking about, again, the Father Yah, because verse 8 is confirming what verse 4 says. So we understand this is referring to the Father. Now, where people get things mixed up on is when they get to verse 5. And verse 5 says, and from Yahushua Mashiach, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that that loved us and washed us from our sins. Okay. Now, when you get people look at it, and we'll move around in other scriptures, because I want to take my time and I want you to see it. When you get people who will move around in the scriptures, it will talk about Christ also being the first and the last. Okay. And I'm gonna just type this in and see what we'll find. Okay. That's what I wanted to do. Okay, now, I'm going to go back up. I'm going to go back up to verse 8. Okay. Verse 8 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord. This is the Lord Yah, which is, verse 4, which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Verse 9 now says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, Yahushua Mashiach, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of Yah and for the testimony of Yahushua Mashiach. He's basically put on that island for him preaching the gospel, preaching the words of Yah and the gospel of Christ. Okay. Now, and I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and see it, send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. Okay. And so we're seeing these different things is identifying the first and the last. We go back up to verse 4 and 5. We see that it also says Christ is the first. But we don't get it mixed up by putting him in the same category as the Father in verse 8. Okay. The Father said, I am the beginning and the ending. And so when we look at verse 8, it says, Father Yah says, I am the beginning and the ending. Right here. In verse 5, we have to understand what it means when the Father says he's the beginning and the ending, the first and the last, trying to find the other one. So when we see, and we look at other scriptures to confirm this. So when we see that in verse 5, Christ is the first, and then there are other scriptures that we'll pull up beside this to show that he is also classified as the first and the last. Because people will read these different things, and then they'll start saying, see, Christ and God is one and the same. You know, it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But when we look at scriptures and stay with the contextual meaning, we'll see that although Christ is referenced as some of the same things as the Father, we have to understand what that means in its contextual meaning. So when we look at verse 5, we know that Christ is also the first. But the scripture lets us know what he's the first in. So anytime we read the scriptures and it's referencing Christ and it's saying he's the first, then we have to stay within the context, contextual meaning, understand that he's the first according to what the scripture says he's the first. He's not that same type of first as the Father. Okay? He's not, when you look at verse 4, he's not the which is. That's a term where Yah identifies himself as saying, I'm it. I'm which is. I'm which was. I am the Almighty. I am the self-existent one. I'm which is, what I am right now, which was. When you go to talking about God back then, that's me. Which is to come, when God show up in the future, he that same one. Now, Christ, on the other hand, he's also the first. And so the scripture lets us know that he is the first begotten of the dead. He's the first begotten of the dead. And so when we start looking at him and the scriptures start to refer to him as the first and the last, he's the first begotten. I'm going to get a little bit ahead of myself. He's the first begotten of the dead, and he's the last. He's the last by way of putting all things under his feet, and everything becomes submitted to the kingdom of our God. So we read first and last in reference to Christ. We have to understand that that there are some things that he is the first on, and there are some things that he's going to be the last on. And when we see the Father, we have to understand the Father as being the first and the last, the God Almighty. There ain't none like him. What I mean by none like him, there is none that is equal or superior to him. He is God all by himself. And the Son is the express image of the Father. He's not the Father. He's the express image of the Father. Adam was also created in the image of Yah. Okay? But Christ is the express image of the Father. That's why the scripture calls him the last Adam. So when we start to look at these scriptures now, from now on, we'll understand what it means when Christ says, I am the first and I am the last. And when it starts talking about the Father, when he says, I am the first, I am the last, it puts it in different categories. And we have to be able to understand which category that is based upon the scriptures now. So the Bible clearly tells us in verse 5, he's the first begotten of the dead. Thus, he is the first. So anytime you hear Christ say, I'm the first, we should understand that he said, I'm the first begotten of many brothers. I'm the first begotten of the dead. Okay. He's not saying he's the Almighty. He is the Son of the Almighty. Okay. Now, when we look at other scriptures to confirm this, I'm going to leave Revelation up. And we'll look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. For the sake of the time, we just go straight to the verse. Colossians 1 I started verse 12. Colossians 1 verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Christ indeed is the Son of God, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible Yah, the firstborn of what? Every creature. So when we start hearing about Christ being the first, we think within the contextual meaning of the scriptures. Okay? He's the firstborn of every creature. He's the first begotten of many brethren. He's the first from the dead. Okay? Now, people get confused when they get to verse 17. Because verse 13, 14, and 15 is talking about Christ. So when they get to verse 16, they still think that it is talking about Christ. Verse 13, I'm reading 13, 14, 15, 16. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Who delivered us? Verse 12, the Father. So this entire next few verses is talking about what the Father did. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who the Father has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom the Son we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Who, the Son, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him are all things created. Who, the Father, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. The Father. And he is before all things. The Father. And by him all things consist. The Father. Thus giving thanks unto the Father. When we allow our minds to roam and we don't stay in the scripture, we start now thinking, oh, let's talk about Christ. But it's talking about the Father and showing the process by which he has done things. And Christ is an important key as the Son who has now redeemed us back to the Father because of his obedience to the Father. All right, you seeing it? Now, we'll continue on. I'm showing you how we are meant to see the scriptures, okay? Now, as we continue on with this, we see here that uh, let me see which verse. Verse 15 said, who is the image of the invisible Yah, the firstborn of every creature. Okay. And so that now identifies another scriptural meaning of what another scripture evidence of what the scripture means when it talks about Christ being the first. Revelation 1 says he's the first begotten of the dead. Colossians 1 verse 15 say he's the firstborn of every creature. Okay. And so this is how we start to see and be able to identify the difference between the Father and the Son. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 is more evidence now. And I think we may stop right there. I'll go right here. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 20. We'll just look at verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. What Revelation said? Revelation 1 verse 5. And from Yahushua Mashiach, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten from the dead. Corinthians says the exact same thing. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. First begotten. First fruit. Okay. Not the exact same thing, but the same meaning. Verse 21 says, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. You see it? Why? Because Christ is the first begotten from the dead. Thus, he's the first begotten of many brethren. Verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Why? Because he's alive. He's the first begotten. Thus, we can be begotten. Verse 23. But every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, he's the first. So when I hear my Savior saying he's the first, then the scripture should manifest in my mind that he's the first begotten of many brethren. He's the first from the dead. He's the first fruit of them that slept. He's the first of every creature. All these scriptures should start to come to mind. I now don't start wondering and try to say, well, he's God in the flesh. Because the Bible clearly identifies where he's the first at. Christ the first fruits, after they that are Christ. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. He's the first one, then the rest of us. That's why I say he's the first begotten of many brethren. Now, look at what the scripture says. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of Yah, even the Father, when he shall have put all rule and all thought and all authority, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he had put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Verse 27. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifested he is accepted, which did put all things under him. All things put under him, but who's the source that did it? The Father. And when all things, verse 28, shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things unto him, that Yah may be all in all. Christ gonna become subject to his fullest after he has done the work that the Father has sent him to do and put all authority under him. He will then take all of that authority that the Father has bestowed upon him and give it all back to the Father, so to speak, so that the Father may be God to all. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus, Yahushua Mashiach, is Lord. In the end, thus, he's the first and the last. Christ said, when I put it down, it's done. That's the end of it. When I end it, then I will turn around now and give all of that power and authority that was given to me by my Father to end it. I will give it back to him so they can be manifested that he is God alone. Thus I myself, as the Son, will submit all things to my Father. Now, if the false doctrine was true, that God was the Father, and Christ, that the Father is God, and Christ is God, and the Spirit is God, then why would Jesus, as God, have to submit his authority to God so that God could be all in all? Wouldn't he be God? What is he going to submit if he's God? But because he's the Son, he has an authority. Thus, you hear him say throughout the scripture, I do nothing of myself. Everything you see me do is given unto me. Thus, from now on, when we read that he's the first and the last, we know truly what it is referring to. Now, I'm going to pull up, so I was going to close, but I didn't. I'm not. I'm going to see here. I'm going to see if it's going to give me something else. Yep, that's it. I just wanted to make sure if there are some other scriptures that I need to cover, just to prove the point. So I'm going to go back to Revelation 1 and then we'll close. I'll just read verse 4 and verse 5. Revelation 1 verse 4 says, and to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was, which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Yahushua Mashiach, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He indeed is the first and the last. But within the category by which the scripture reveals. And the Father is the first and the last according to the category of what the scripture reveals. And if we stick with the scriptures, we always see it, we always see things for the truth that it, see things as what it truly is, the truth, okay? And from there, we'll know the truth, and the truth will make us free. All right, I'm done. Any questions or comments before I close? All right, go ahead and close. Father Yah, we bless you for our Savior. He indeed is the Son of God, and you indeed are our Father. Yah, you are God alone, and we bless you that you are the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega, and our Savior is the first begotten of many brethren, and the first from the dead, and everything that's associated with him in his category being first and last. He is the process by which you use to cause this gospel to begin, and he's going to be the process by which you use to cause your kingdom to come and things as we know it to end. And we bless you for him. We thank you for his obedience. We want to be just like him and have his mind, that we may speak all the things that that you have said. Whatever you've spoken to us, we want to speak it. We bless you for that. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.